Hey everyone, I'm Madonna Guy and this is David Scheel, naturopath, holistic counselor. We've been talking about different personality types and how, so for example, we know that people call people evil or narcissists or sociopaths and things like that. And I've been thinking of it from the perspective of the Enneagram. There's nine major personality types, and the ones that are the most challenging, there's an eight, which is a controller, but they're also that biggest protective mama bear, mama daddy, the papa bear sort of thing, so you want them in your court if anything bad is going on, but they're also the ones that can damage us most when they're attacking us. And there's
I actually don't know anything about Enneagrams,
I love it. I love
although
it.
I know a lot of counselors who use them.
Yeah, right.
Like,
So I'm a classic seven. So sevens
right.
are adventurous and fun, and they will always choose the fun over anything else. So as soon as you've got something boring planned, and a better offer comes along, or you find out about a better offer coming on, you get the whole FOMO thing. So FOMO is huge with sevens.
What's FOMO?
Oh, fear of missing out.
Oh my
Fear of
God.
missing out. Sevens really don't like, missing out, whereas other people are just happy just to,
Enneagrams. Yeah, go on.
do an image.
Huh?
I'll cut this bit.
Oh, sorry, I thought we'd just go on.
Yeah, still get that one.
Oh, my phone.
Yeah.
It doesn't have any deep help.
No, that's good enough.
Okay.
Trust me. Yeah, so I'm a classic seven. FOMO's huge. I always like to do the biggest fun thing first. Some people, the eights though, they're also known as protective and challengers, but really they're the controllers. They're the people who become larger than life, and they're quite intimidating energy-wise when we're around them. So if I think about the people on the planet who I would say are evil or narcissists or sociopaths, they would nearly all be eights, but not all of them. There's another one called a three, which is hilarious because they're the task-oriented people. They're the sort of people who would walk over their mother's graves to get what they want.
Which
They sort
one?
of the three. They're sort
Three.
of very success-oriented. They will do anything to be seen as successful and to create success in their world, no matter what they have to do
Number
it.
three, the performer.
Yeah. So they the, and you can imagine, really good salespeople. They will say anything to do whatever they need to do to have some fun. Now you are a classic four.
I've been told that my whole life,
Yeah.
even though I don't know much about it.
Yeah. So the four, it's not only the romantic, but it's about being an artist. So it's the people who
Well,
think
I'm
the
definitely
most
that.
deeply. Yeah. So it's the people who think really deeply. But it can also go into depression as well. So the four are the ones who they will think more about things than other people, but it gets them down into these states
It's a
where
little bit like looking at that one because they're romantic. You know, the little saying here is, "What is missing? Can I express myself? Will I be rejected or feel deficient?" I'm also an Aquarian, and that's nearly the same.
Yeah, right.
Because you're always doing something different, and that's just the way you are, but it looks like you're being weird, but you're just in a, and all the other Aquarians know.
Yes.
When you talk to other Aquarians, they're like, "Yeah, you know how weird it is, man."
Yeah, absolutely. And even within the seven, so I'm the seven, the other word for it is the epicure. What is stimulating? Do I feel limited or constrained? Can I avoid pain? So sevens do anything, to just have fun and feel free, So
Right.
as soon as there's deadlines and things, that's when I turn into a crazy, crazy person. So the seven becomes a one when they're under stress, and that's a perfectionist.
Right.
So that's when sevens are more likely to get angry and frustrated and blame other people, because they have this deadline in their brain that they're totally not organized for, because ones are not plan sevens are not planners. They don't plan anything, which is why when I started doing my online training, I thought, well, I've just got to put dates and start doing it.
It's interesting, these systems, because there's a whole bunch of systems that people use, and Enneagram's one of them.
Yes.
What are some others? Another one is that the counselors use.
Yeah. Oh,
What are the love types?
yeah, right. I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I never read that.
Right, yeah, well, that's the thing. There's a lot of systems, and Enneagram's one of them. And what they all do is divide up the group of people into consistent patterns of behavior where they all sort of overlap.
Yeah.
Oh, love languages, that's it.
Well, that's not it, is it?
No, it's called love languages, and a lot of counselors use that one. And what they are is they're like their preferred ways of being loved. So some people will prefer words of affirmation, some people physical touch, some people receiving gifts, some people quality time, and some acts of service.
Yeah.
And they're called the six love languages. So counselors have used them and Enneagrams. I used to know a lot about Enneagrams, just like astrology, but you kind of forget it when you get involved in other systems.
As I did like a big course going back 20, 25 years ago, and it was sort of interesting because at the time they did an entire night on each of the Enneagram personalities. I swear every word she said was me to a T with seven. My friend came with me, and she's a classic one, and every word on the one night was her. And I couldn't have said yes to any of it. So it's not like you can mix and match some bits. And even my hubby, he's a classic five, which is the observer. So they have to feel really safe and comfortable to turn into a seven. That's their safe side, which is sort of interesting. But yeah, the thing about love languages, it allows us to understand other people better. And I think that's really important these days. So going back to because there's so much damaging energy on the planet at the moment with all this control going on. The thing about people who are controllers or eights or protectors is that they only respect other eights. So someone who doesn't have that strength and that commitment to strength, they have no respect for.
Well, I guess that's a, you know, there's a bit of a natural empathy bias with different groups of people. Like, for example, I've got a lot of traits of, say, ADHD, and I could probably be diagnosed because I can see that from when I was a kid. And there's a funny thing, when you meet other people who've got ADHD, you have a natural empathy with them.
Yeah.
Just like girls will have a natural empathy with each other and guys.
Yeah.
And so when you come across these, because there's so many systems, there's astrology, there's Enneagrams, there's love languages, but another system would be, what's that, Myers-Briggs,
Oh, yeah.
where you work out. And all of these systems use what we're actually looking at, like what's the common factor in all of them? In all of these systems is that you've got people who have patterns of behavior.
Yes.
Right, so it's not about one thing. It's about looking over time and seeing what the patterns of behavior are.
Yeah.
And so once we've got that, that's the only way you can work them out. You have to have a fairly substantial knowledge of just say, a couple, you and your partner, to work out what they are, because you need a long pattern of behavior. Like for
Yeah.
example, when you started, you said the word using the word narcissist.
Yes.
People are sort of, it's all over the internet and people, but there has to be a proven pattern of behavior over time.
Right.
Right, and for all of these things, there has to be a pattern of behavior over time.
Yes.
Otherwise, it's not really relevant. Like
And
somebody.
everyone always has their best behavior, So a lot of people who, like, let's just say a classic narcissist, they're often the most genial, fantastic person, in groups.
But with the
Because they've got
narcissist.
that learnt behavior that this is how I act in social
Oh, and they're often, but
settings.
and when you read the literature on that particular. The problem with narcissists too is that there's two types of descriptions. So, because narcissistic personality disorder is a thing in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, the DSM, and it's a trait, and it's in a group of personality disorders that antisocial personality disorder. So, you've got antisocial personality disorder, you've got what's the psychopathic disorder? You've got narcissism, you've got borderline personality disorder. They're kind of all in the similar personalities because they've got similar traits
Yeah.
of not being able to empathize. Except the thing is with narcissists, they are really well able to empathize or look like they're empathizing with a lot of people because normally they're just targeting one or two people.
Right.
And the way this works is that. So you've got the individual personality thing, but then you've got narcissistic family systems,
Right.
right? And how that works is that you've got a group acting on a narcissist who's in control of it.
Right.
Right? So basically, it all comes down to the family narrative. And so out of that, you end up things like scapegoating abuse, which is common in family systems, because in dysregulated family systems, you end up with a thing where, like, from a dysregulated family or a violent childhood
Yes.
where there's a lot of aggression, you end up with a thing that happens where family roles play out. And in family systems, and you can start to tell when you see two particular types come out, and one's a golden child and one's a scapegoat. And as soon as you see those things present, it's likely that there's other roles, and the other roles that'll be in families like that are the lost child.
Right.
And so, but the scapegoat's the one they focus on, because that person is, like in the Bible, it says, they just cup everyone's crap.
Yeah.
Everyone just lays it on them. You never believe the scapegoat. You always pull them up. You're a weirdo. You're stupid. You're
Right. Yeah,
crazy.
yeah.
Always they get that. And that comes out of the, and if that's in a family system, it comes out of the family narrative. So that person is always that, and the whole family agrees, oh, she's an idiot, she's a weirdo, she's crazy, she always does something, and it's always laid on them. And
Yeah.
by doing that, everyone's safe, because they know it's not going to get, because they don't want it to happen to them,
Yeah.
to be called out all the time. And one person gets called out all the time, right? It's always their fault, and the golden child is always wonderful. And when you see that, it's a problem, because that person who's the scapegoat really suffers in their life. And there's a lot of literature you can look up. Rather than look up narcissistic abuse, it's better off looking up scapegoating abuse. And there's a nice book on it called Blame, Shamed, and Shamed, Blamed, and I can't remember the name of the book, Shamed and Blamed.
Yeah.
But it's about scapegoating, and scapegoating happens. So with narcissistic abuse, it's often in a scapegoating pattern, because narcissists are very good at impression management. So everybody thinks they're wonderful, because they'll go out, they're often, because complex trauma family, they're often people pleasers. So they're wonderful to everybody.
So
But
what
then, but
happens
then
if
with
there
one, if
were
but if they're abusing one of their kids as a scapegoat, or their partner
Yeah.
as a scapegoat, nobody believes it, because they're so wonderful to everybody. Wonderful, but as soon as that person, nah. Right? And that
Yeah.
could be a kid, it could be a partner. And not only they do it, but their family members do it to that person.
Right.
So the person in the scapegoat position not only cops it from the family, or it could be in-laws,
Yeah.
but they're constantly getting it from these people. And if they and they're always invalidated. If they're in pain, they're invalidated, which is one of the most dangerous parts of scapegoat abuse, is because if you continue this, at some time somebody might get really sick,
Yeah.
and then they'll get hurt from the abuse. And so it's like, and so it's, you've got to be very careful understanding how these roles work, because once they're present, it's like, these things go on, and they're unlikely to correct, because the people who aren't the scapegoats are getting so much benefit from always being told how wonderful they are.
Right.
Right?
Okay. Yeah.
You can, and families who've had, say, an alcoholic or addicted parent, or where there's a lot of family violence,
Yes.
they tend to have these roles more often than others. And so family roles is a big thing in family counselling,
Yeah.
working out where the roles are. And we can talk about narcissism, but they're not people you see in counselling very often,
No, because they're
because,
not coming for help.
well, they think they're better than everyone else.
Yeah.
Generally, they've got a superiority complex, so they're always saying, no, it's that person's fault.
Yeah. Interesting. And yeah, so I just like the Enneagram because I know that it's the eights and the threes that are predominantly that personality type. And
Right.
yeah, the eights are connected to a two, and guess what the two is? That's the caring, nurturing role.
Right.
So they can actually become that beautiful, caring, nurturing role, but the second,
But how can you draw that down in personality? So does that mean that the personality, because say things like family roles,
Yes.
they come out of complex trauma, right? It's not, it happens to you because something went wrong.
So have a look at this. So see the connection. So there's the eight. That's the protective challenger, or as we were saying before, that's the eight. That's the controller. So the in one of their wings is the supportive advisor. That's the carer. That's the nurturer. On the other side of the eight is the investigator, which is also the observer. You know, so basically these sort of, we've got these wings, if you like, you know, of
So,
different
for anyone
ones.
who's see, if you look up a info on an Enneagram online, you'll see it's got nine parts, and there's these little lines
No, no, no,
joining
I'm
them
sharing
together.
this. I'm
Oh, you're
sharing
seeing
this.
this?
Yeah, yeah,
Oh,
yeah.
okay.
Yeah. So this is another one. This is closer to what I learned when I did it. You know, so again, the protector, the power, is everything under control in an effective and just way. The ironic thing is they're all about justice, but justice in their own mind.
But aren't they all positive in one way?
Yeah.
So
Absolutely.
no types are positive or negative.
No. And the 369, you know, so the 369 connect, and the three is that success oriented. You know, it's one of the heart types. So the heart types are the giver, the performer, the romantic. The head types are 567, so the observer, the loyal skeptic, and the adventurer. And then the body types are the protector, the mediator, and the perfectionist. I love the mediator, number nine, because under stress, they really hate stress. They'll do anything to avoid stress. They're the ones you can imagine, you know, rocking in the corner, you know, if there's fighting going on, you know, please stop, please stop. They'll do anything to calm things down. But yeah, anyway, so it's just a bit of fun having a look at those sort of things, because sometimes it gives us an insight as to what's going on within relationships in our lives. And I think insights are really powerful.
Well, they're funny things because in counseling theory, or at least in the university part now, a lot of those things are considered to be pseudoscience.
Yeah.
And even though they're helpful, like for example, even the love languages, is it pseudoscience? It's not scientifically backed. And
Well,
there's this
you
whole
know, you
thing.
say that, but I do love, you know, like hubby and I, we like quality time.
No, I
We
know.
both like, you know, so it makes sense to people.
No, but
Whereas,
there's what I mean. So the reason I'm saying this about the scientific evidence-based thing is because that just means they're the people who could afford to do the studies, because studies are so
yeah.
expensive now that it's more about funding than access. And
Yeah.
so there's a lot of things that, like, just say for example, Enneagram, so they might say they're pseudoscience, just
Yeah.
like they do with what's the Myers-Briggs.
Yeah.
So they call that pseudoscience, and they call it NLP pseudoscience.
Yeah.
But a lot of counselors use techniques out of all of them,
Yeah.
right? So and it's a bit of a funny thing, because things that say produce really positive hormones, you might get that out of, say, something that's pseudoscience, like a tarot reading
Yeah.
or looking up your Enneagrams.
Yes.
You might get some nice, or being interested in astrology,
Yeah.
you might get some nice hormonal feeling just from getting that understanding of the way, because there's some element of truth in it. Like Aquarians, I'm an Aquarian, and all the Aquarians agree that we're treated like we're a bit strange, and that we come out of this,
Well, you've got a whole song written about you.
Right. No, but it does have that thing. Aquarians,
Yeah.
all the way, a lot of them feel like they're a little bit different to other people, and other star signs don't say that. So it might be pseudoscience, but there's these funny common elements in them,
Yeah.
like Scorpio people and the jealousy and the secrecy. I mean, seriously, that's like really normal for those people, but it's pseudoscience, so we can't say.
Yeah, if you can't say what's, anyway, let's not go into science and
No,
sciencey
the
damn
thing is, they're
science.
all based on observation of behavioral
Yeah.
patterns over time.
Yeah.
And more of the neuroscience comes in and proves things or not proves things. So even if, so just say it's pseudoscience, but it creates a lot of positive
Yeah.
hormones, like,
Yeah, and I
makes
think,
your relationship better by
yeah.
doing something like, even if someone reads Linda Goodman's Love Signs, I know a lot of people have got benefit out of that,
Yeah.
whether it's true or not.
Yeah,
And not
exactly.
only that's entertaining. It's like you buy a book and you read it, and that's fun.
Yeah.
And
Especially if you get something out of it, you go, oh crap, that's the way they think. Because that's often what I think in relation to personality stuff. Because, you know, I've been, so it's when you're learning about yourself and then you learn about your traits and then you find out about someone else and you go, oh, we always agree, but we're agreeing from two totally different perspectives, which
Right.
is always a really interesting realization.
Okay.
You know,
Well, that.
it's like my friend Linda and I when we first started studying kinesiology together, and when we first were reprogramming our brains with the brain integration stuff, she had logic on both hemispheres of her brain, and I had gestalt on both hemispheres of my brain, and we literally learned exactly the opposite to each other.
Right.
So as our teacher was talking about the traits of the gestalt people and the traits of the logical people, it made perfect sense because I'm like, yep, it was really quite amazing,
Well,
which is
you
another
shouldn't
thing.
have been having that fun. All people
Oh,
should be at home reading scientific articles that are peer reviewed. And that's
yeah,
client and everyone, the customer, everyone should do that. And they should stop reading rubbish that's entertaining. That
can't
gives
do that.
gives them positive
Yeah, you're not
hormones.
allowed to have positive hormones free. You've got to take the pharmaceuticals.
People get
Yeah.
a lot of enjoyment out of reading fiction, and that's not scientifically proven. And the DSM, the Diagnostic and Statistic Manual, some of the best theorists in the world, like Bessel van der Kolk, who wrote Body Keeps the Score, they basically say that it's a load of rubbish in the main part because they've decided what these disorders are on consensus.
Yes.
Consensus is how they did it, which
And there's
is,
a group of people who make money out of that consensus, who make the consensus.
well, the
So,
consensus is there for the diagnosis is there only so you can get treatment, right? So especially this comes out of America, and we all use the DSM. There's a European version called the ICM, but everyone uses the DSM for naming things.
Yeah.
But the thing is, what does Bessel van der Kolk call it? The Book of Natural Disasters. And it's like, and the thing is that, some of these things do overlap, but they overlap a little bit like astrology
Right.
overlaps. And even though they've got more detail, it's like a lot of counseling theorists, like narrative therapists, don't believe in diagnosis.
Yeah.
They believe in letting go of that and looking at the actual traits and the patterns of behavior that are
That's what
coming up.
naturopaths do. And then we work out how to fix it rather than just naming it
Because
and
everyone's
putting
an
the name out
individual,
there.
and although there are some, I mean, there is some validity, I'm not like dissing it completely,
Yeah.
except they're terms that will have a drug application attached to them,
Yeah.
or or herbal
Yeah.
application. So they are a good, it is a good way of, like, depending on how you use it. Like, for example, if your kid's got ADHD, you read up, or if you're a therapist, you read up and you look at the traits. And a lot of the people do have those common traits,
Yeah.
but they've got a lot of other things too.
Yeah.
They're all different from each other, and
What a concept.
some things don't work for some people that work
Yeah.
for others. And they're behavioural things as well as medications.
Yeah.
Like with ADHD, with medications, if you look, and the same as the application of other medications, and maybe herbs a bit to a certain extent too. If they try them on one thing and if it doesn't work, they try them on another. And if it doesn't work, they'll add things or try it on another. And that happens all the time. And that's what you're told. We'll try this and see it works. So that
Nice.
means that there's no direct relationship for 100% of the people.
Yeah.
And I think that with the ADHD medications, they might have like 60 or 40% success rate. Because they do have some, they work really, really well for. You give them a stimulant, they're up, they're getting A's, but other kids, they don't work well for at all.
Long term, it destroys pathways in the brain and makes them addicted to heavier drugs.
Well,
That's what it does long
the
term.
same as any speed does, because it's an
Yeah, it's
amphetamine.
speed.
And
Yeah,
so,
it's not like a herb that's not going to do that.
no, it's speed, and they are strong drugs, and we know that's what they are. We know that if people get addicted to them, we know what happens to them.
Yeah.
And they're a milder dose, but they're still amphetamine.
Yeah.
And they do give you a powerful boost
Yeah.
in the day.
They're only six molecules away from cocaine.
That's right.
So, yes, very dangerous.
No, but it is. But it's aware of that, and that's why, you be careful and you try things and you keep them short
No,
term.
but people often don't know there's any other option because medically that's all they're told,
That's right.
which
But
is really frustrating.
the other thing that happens with it, to keep a prescription up, costs a lot of money. So for a start, it costs a lot of money to get a kid diagnosed, if it's one of your
Yeah.
kids. And then after that, you've got an upkeep fee. which is you've got to see the psychiatrist regularly, and just say you're a teenager, how will you afford that if your parents aren't paying it for you anymore? Because not only you need the drugs, which are fairly, so they're sort of subsidized a bit, they're not that expensive, but at the same time you have to keep up this. So a lot of people end up not being able to afford the psychiatrist anymore because
Interesting.
it's not done through the GP, which is affordable. You need a psychiatrist. So you end up with these $500 bills every 3 or 6 months where all they do is like say, is it working? And really, you could have done it. Why do you need to see them if it's keep going? And so what happens is people end up not being able to afford it anymore, and they end up just going and buy something illegally off the street because they're addicted to something, and now they've got, and that's what happened with the oxycodone problem in the US. They got a lot of people on these painkillers. They couldn't afford the prescriptions, and so they could buy it cheaper on the street.
Just, yeah, dreadful.
Wow.
Anyway, I'm not a drug fan.
No, well, it's a,
Anywho, but I think personality-wise, some, you know.
but a lot of things do good for a lot of people, especially in the short term. They can really help people, and then the herbal aspect, you can get more of a long term vibe over time, because what you want to do is correct it if you can, not put someone on drugs for 20 years. You want to, do they correct it?
Because the drugs destroy enzyme
Yeah,
pathways. The
so
longer we're on drugs, they destroy
they have their,
enzyme
and
pathways.
so therefore you need, like, really, if you're taking them, you need a good diet. But people don't often change their diet, so you need to, if you're taking a drug, you need something to balance it to keep the other bits good.
Anyway, so yes, it is an interesting thing, the whole personality types, ADHD. You love your ADHD people. You do have lots of empathy for them.
Isn't it interesting how we empathize with similar types? And it
Obviously,
doesn't matter what sort of personality. It's like our people who've got narcissistic personality disorder, they can empathize with each other too, because they've got a real natural understanding of what manipulating people's like. Normally you have to go to the CIA to get trained in that, but some people work it out all by themselves.
That's funny. Someone called me a CIA agent today on Facebook because I was sharing the BioResonance stuff.
I was listening
And I
to
was
a
like,
podcast
really?
with a what's his name? Someone, Bessie Mante, and he's an ex-CIA agent, and he's teaching about how you have to learn to lie and manipulate. And he goes, some people work out all by themselves in life. They've worked out how to lie, how to
Oh,
manipulate, how to cover up,
that's
how to
funny.
like make someone pretend to be your friend while you're exploiting them. And he goes, some people work it out naturally if they've got a personality disorder. But he goes, we learn how to do it.
Interesting.
Interesting, huh?
So I don't want to be a CIA agent.
Well, we can't get a job. We have to join ASIO if we're going to do something here.
Nice. Anyway, a bit of personality stuff. Go find out what personality types you are and start having a play with it with your friends. See
Well,
where
it's kind
see
of
how
fun, and there's
it is a bit of fun.
so many things you can do online. Just like self-analysis is really nice.
Awesome. Excellent. Everyone have a good day.
Thank you.
Bye.